We read the word of God this morning from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. We'll read the first 10 verses of this chapter. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy stakes, thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. That means you will not be disappointed. Neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for that thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. Small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with great everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall be moved, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. If you would please keep your Bibles open for the sermon, where our first three verses will be our text. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah is speaking here about 150 years before the Babylonian captivity. Terrible times are going to come. Terrible times because of their sins and apostasy. And Isaiah covers that in the first 39 chapters. It's going to seem to God's people that God has forsaken them, given them up, will remember them no more as a woman whose husband has left her. But that is not the final word. Beginning in Isaiah chapter 40, the word of God to his elect people is comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably, cry out to her, that her warfare is accomplished. Comfort. And that comfort comes to us through the one whom he sends, his righteous servant, who will bear our iniquity. And having spoken about that suffering servant of Jehovah in chapter 53, now the prophet is able to go on and address the church. The blessedness of the church. Our text is of great significance for the church today. Practical, spiritual point of view. It speaks from a point of view of, in prophetic language, of the expansion of the church. The expansion of the church as it began at Pentecost. It continues throughout the new dispensation and finally reaches its fulfillment in that multitude that cannot be numbered in the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, our text concerns the matter of missions, the expansion of Zion from the viewpoint of the activity of God's church in the world. God is going to add sons and daughters, but the church has a great important task ahead of her. And in our passage, we have hints and directives in that work. We're called to the work of missions. Are you excited? Are you looking forward at what the Lord's going to do? Is there a song arising in your heart, a great expectation? Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Notice with me the theme from verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent. Enlarge the place of thy tent, the great expectation, preparation for that expectation, and then thirdly, the cause for that expectation. In our passage, we have an image given to us of the church as a woman. The church as a woman. Now, that woman is called barren. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Barren, that is, no offspring could be expected by her as long as she groaned under the wretched bondage that she's going to be sent into. Do you remember that she went into Egypt 70 souls and came out of Egypt a multitude of 2 million folk? Wow, did the Lord bless her over there. And the Lord cared for her through the wilderness, gave her the land of Canaan, and she multiplied, she filled up the city. She was a great nation under David and the prosperity of Solomon. Your children have probably studied in catechism about those kings and the Lord's blessing under those types of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now Isaiah speaks during a time when Israel, the 10 tribes, are being taken out of their land, never to return again. He's speaking during the time of evil, evil kings. Jotham, Ahaz, yes, there is the reformation of a godly Hezekiah, and then the beginning of the reign of a terrible Manasseh. Sing, O barren, because of the upcoming captivity. she will not have many children. Do you know how many souls came out of Babylon to return to the hope that they had in Jerusalem? From Catechism, about 49,000 plus. A piddly small amount. Barren. Sing, O barren. She is likened unto Sarah, her covenant mother. Boys and girls, remember that story of when the Lord came down to visit Abraham and Sarah. And the Lord told Abraham that she would have children, a seed, and she laughs in disbelief behind her tent door. And the Lord asked, why did you laugh? And she says, I did not. No, she lied about it. Barren Sarah could not have any children. Or she is likened later on to godly Hannah, who was unable to have any children, and she brings her request to the Lord. Unspoken words, but her mouth moving so that old Eli thinks that she's drunk like many others in that day. The barren one. She's not only called the barren one, but she is called the desolate one, verse 1, and then she is called, verse 4, a widow. This is God's church that he is speaking to. How come is she called desolate and the widow? And the answer is, it's going to seem like the Lord has forsaken her. He's going to turn his face of favor away from her. No, the Lord never leaves his people, but the experience of God's people when they're walking in sin is that the Lord forsakes us. When we willingly walk into sin, we will not experience God's favor and love. She's called the barren one. And the widow, because of her apostasy. That's the one who is spoken to here, and the one speaking is, we read, the Lord. And if you look in your Bibles, the word Lord there is in capital letters. That means the real name there is Jehovah, the covenant name there. The God who is tied to his people with an unbreakable bond, he will never leave them. It's all about the covenant. And now this covenant God, it remembers his people. Yes, verse 7 and 8, for a short time he was angry with them. But he's going to remember them in his everlasting kindness. For a little while, he's going to turn his face away from them. They're going to go down into captivity, and they're going to cry, has the Lord forgotten us? And the answer is no. He comes with a very beautiful promise to this undeserving wife of his. And that is found in verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Why not? Because verse 1, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. She's called to do something. She's called to sing, and she's called to prepare. Why? Because of a great promise. Many, many, many children are going to be her. She is to sing. She is to be amazed at the surprising, extraordinary fertility of the church. It's going to look for a little while like she's going to almost go out of existence. But no, God's going to perform a work. There's going to be so many children given to her. Not children that she herself bears, but children that are given to her, that will come to her from the Lord. Picture to her is the work of God in Christ Jesus beginning at Pentecost, when the nations will flow to Zion and will be named as sons and daughters of Zion. Yes, pictured here is the promise of the Lord extending the church, bringing to her many sons and daughters from Pentecost all the way through the entire new dispensation till Jesus comes back again. God's elect gathered, a multitude that no man can number. We read in verse 3, "For thou shalt break forth on the right hand, thou shalt break forth on the left hand, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles." So many children. If you look a little bit further in your Bibles to Isaiah 60, we have the same promise in different words. Isaiah 60, verses 4 and 5. "Lift up thine eyes round about and see." So in your mind, spiritual vision here. "Lift up thine eyes round about and see." See what? "All they gather together themselves, they come to thee, thy son shall come from far, thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side, then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee." Not her own children that she is bearing, but now children, sons and daughters brought from the nations around. They come, the Lord says. Isaiah uses that word "come" because this is the Lord's work. He is going to bring sons and daughters to her, all kinds of sons and daughters. This is a verse that the Apostle Paul comes back to in Galatians chapter 4. There he's talking about the two wives of Abraham. Yes, Hagar and Sarai. And they both have children. The spiritual seed runs through Sarah, not through Hagar. And we read then about the descendants of Abraham and his barren wife, Sarai. Galatians 4, verse 27, "For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she that hath a husband." That's the picture. The church decimated because of apostasy, not bearing her own children, not children of her own womb, but sons and daughters flowing to her the work of God. So many. So much. The imagery here is breaking forth on the right and the left. I think of my days on the farm, one of the years, an abundant corn crop. The silos were filled with silage, and there still was so much more corn. So we had an old, long, rickety corn crib that usually wasn't filled, but that year we filled it completely. Filled it so full that it was breaking forth. The boards where the nails were breaking forth on the corners. It was leaning over. We had to support it. So much corn. So great a number of children are going to be given to the church that she can hardly contain them all. Maybe perhaps when you were younger, or you boys and girls knew that little ditty, that little song, that nursery rhyme, there was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children she didn't know what to do. There's a picture. And now Zion, with that great expectation, is given her first command, sing. How sing? Break forth into singing. That is, be surprised, be amazed at God's goodness. Be amazed at what the Lord can do. She herself can't do it. She herself is not going to produce these children of Zion. they're going to be given to her by the Lord. And really, even in our families, that's the way we need to look at it. We ourselves cannot give birth to godly children. We only give birth to sinful, depraved children. It is God who has to give that new birth. It is God who gives us spiritual sons and daughters. Break forth into singing. Joy. A divine work here. Break forth into singing because this promise is given to her who was so unworthy of it. Break forth. Break forth with so much power. Because the Lord surprises his people. She is not to be filled as she goes into captivity in those days with skepticism and say, it's over and done with. She should not have been hanging up her harps on the willow trees there in Babylon. She should have been hoping in this promise of the Lord. Sing. And it is a song, break forth, that is not merely on the lips, but a song that arises from the heart. It arises from the heart because the church loves the cause of God and the cause of the truth of God. When God causes us to know and to confess and to love his truth, there is a desire in our hearts that others also may know the Lord willing and may confess and love those same truths. The mistake is the church. When there are many who are coming, there is rejoicing, not only up in heaven, but here by the church. And now, with that joy, she's told, second of all, to do something. Not only sing with great joy, but now she's told to prepare. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Israel, God's church, is compared to a tent. Why a tent? Well, not only were they used back in the old days with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were used because we read of Abraham, he realized that he was only a pilgrim and a stranger. He was looking for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. Yes, it's good for the church to recognize that the church is here in this world like a tent. Don't try to put down firm foundations and buildings because you can't take anything that the world has along with you. I think I once said at a funeral message, I've never seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. We're only here temporary, and the church realizes it. So it's not the things of the world that are appealing to us, setting our hope on them, but rather our hope is on when the Lord Jesus comes for us and takes us with him in glory. A tent. A tent here, she is pictured as a woman in a tent because she knew what that was like. Leaving Egypt and their houses in Egypt, in Goshen, they traveled in tents for 40 years. And never was she forsaken by her husband. Didn't he give her bread from heaven? Didn't he give her water out of a rock? Didn't he send birds when they cried? Didn't he have clothes on their bodies that did not wear out and shoes on their feet that did not wear out? Oh, how the Lord was good through his people. And so the Lord is going to be with them also when they are taken now out of their cities and brought down into captivity. The Lord's going to be with his true people, and he is going to bring them back again, as he brought Israel to the first time into the promised land. So the church is pictured as a woman, a barren woman, who's going to have many children, who lives in a tent. And now comes the command, enlarge the place of thy tent. Enlarge the place of thy tent because of that great expectation, because of that promise of God. Many, many, many children are going to come. Can you picture that? A tent that's too small. You need more room. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Anyone perceptive here? Does that ring any bells to another prophecy earlier in the Bible? Yeah? Moses? Moses, after God saved him and his family in the flood, it doesn't mean that all the sin is washed away, does it? They step off that ark, they sacrifice, he begins his gardens, his husbandry, and he has a vineyard. He becomes drunk with wine. And of his three sons, there is Ham. Ham goes into his father's tent and he sees his father exposed and he makes fun of his father. Look at that drunken old sod. He tells us we got to behave and we got to live godly lives. But now look at him. Boys and girls, do you remember then the other two sons, Shem and Japheth? They took a cloth, a blanket, and they walked backwards into the tent and covered up their father, lest they would see his nakedness. And with that activity, then the Lord causes Noah to speak a prophecy. Genesis 9, verse 27, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Our text, enlarge the place of thy tent, because the Gentiles are going to come in. The prophecy here of Noah is repeated here in this prophecy of Isaiah. Japheth is going to come into the tents of Shem. So enlarge the tents. Enlarge that tent because there's going to be so many children. There's going to be no room for them. Enlarge the place of the tent. I was in the army, had to sleep in these little pup tents. It was important the night before that you smooth out that ground where you're going to put your tent down, lest you got this rock in the middle of your back all night long or hitting you in the head. Smooth out the place of the tent. Enlarge that place, enlarge the place of the tent so that now you make the curtains also longer and you take the stakes and you put them out a long ways. And don't say now, well, this is big enough for me to crawl up into it with my children. But no, make that place very, very large because many, many children are going to come in and there must be room for all those children that the Lord is going to cause to come to his church. We read in Isaiah 49, verse 20. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ear, the place is too straight for me. That means it's too narrow, it's too small. Give place to me that I may dwell. She loses her other children, that is the Jews as a whole, rejected Jesus. But so many other children are going to be given to him that they say, the place is too straight, it's too small for me. Give place to me. Make room. Make room. All God's children that he saves and brings to his church, there must be room for them all. So how do we do that? How does the church make its tent larger? The answer is by preaching the gospel. By preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through the preaching of that gospel, yes, they come. That is God's work. He will bring sons and daughters to his church. Preach the gospel. They come because, as Jesus says to his church, you go. We don't sit inside of our church and we say, well, we got plenty of room and here we are. If they want to come, they can come. I did have a man say that. Well, we're here. We worship every Sunday. They can pass by. And if they want to come, let them come. God's going to save his elect. Yes, they will come, but they come in the way of the church's obedience, our going, our out with the word, preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming that truth. That is how God draws his children in. Proclaim the truth. Feed those children. Instruct them. Comfort them. Assist them. Protect them. And teach their children. Preaching the gospel. But there's something else. We enlarge that place, the tent, not only with the preaching, but now, second of all, by accepting those children that the Lord causes to come to us. Accepting them. Well, say, of course we do. This is very hard for the church to do. Because those sons and those daughters, they were not born from our own loins. They come to us through the preaching of the gospel, and they're different. They might have a different colored skin. They might talk a little bit different. They might not have you and they might not use thee and thou in their prayers. They might want to sing with a little more rhythm. They're different. And so often we are scared of someone else that's different from us. We feel uncomfortable with that. Oh, that's not new. That's not something new. Shem had a hard time accepting Japheth when they started coming, didn't they? That's what the whole New Testament's about. Japheth? They don't follow the Mosaic customs like we do. They're uncircumcised. We can't eat with them. We shouldn't talk with them. They're different. Yes, Japheth was different than Shem. And those that come into the church are going to be different from us. They are not going to wear the wooden shoes that many of us were used to. They might pray a little bit different. They might have different colored skin. And they are not as far along, maybe, as we are in the road of sanctification. Would we really expect a young child to be at the same stage of sanctification as an aged saint? Sanctification is progressive. Not that all old saints are exactly so mature either. For the Bible and our catechism says we have only a small beginning of that new obedience, but we should not expect those whom God is bringing from outside into the church to be as mature or sanctified, as far along on the road as those who have been raised in the church all of our life. We need patience. We need to be long-suffering to one another. We need to forgive one another. Make room. Enlarge the tent so there's many, many, many children may come in. What a blessing that is. You've experienced it, haven't you? Outsiders coming into the church. Many of us have married someone from different churches. Maybe no church background. What a blessing they are. I had, after I joined our denomination, I had an older saint say to me, yeah, these outsiders, they weaken the church. I said, really? Am I supposed to be sorry that I came? No, I didn't mean you. Just others. I said, I think you're wrong. The church that does not have outsiders coming in hurt. They lack. What do they lack? They lack the zeal and the enthusiasm of that new converts have to what they just received. We take it so for granted. But newcomers who just find some of these glorious things, they love that word. They love to study it. And we need that. We need that as churches. When I was a missionary in the Philippines, maybe I told the story once before, 2 o'clock Monday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I get this telephone call while in bed. And this young man from the church said, "Pastor, my wife and I are discussing the sermon that you preached, and we had these questions about it." And I'm thinking, 2 o'clock in the morning, what did I preach that day? Not that I'd always want to be woken up at 2 o'clock, but it says something about zeal. They had heard something in the preaching, and they were talking about it together till 2 o'clock in the morning. Whereas many of us who have grown up in the church, we've heard it before, and it's almost like a ho-hum. We walk out the doors, and perhaps we forget immediately afterwards because we're talking about all these other matters of the world. Are you ready, beloved? Are you ready to be surprised at what the Lord is going to do, what the Lord has done? What he's done over and over in our own history. What he did there at Pentecost in one day, 3,000 believed. What he did with Peter at the house of Cornelius. What he did in Antioch, so many believers that the church in Jerusalem said, "Hey, let's send Barnabas over there." And Barnabas says, "It's so much work, I better get Saul to help me." Weren't we surprised as churches of what the Lord did in Singapore, establishing his church? Weren't we surprised as churches what the Lord did in the Philippines? And do we think that he can't do it here? We sang in that last song from Psalm 87, "Hostile people, heathen lands and hostile people, soon the Lord shall come to know." Do you think that those hostile peoples and those heathens are only living across the ocean? Don't they live in our very cities that we live in? Don't the news that you listen to on them tell you that there's plenty of hostile and heathen people right here in Kalamazoo or in Grand Rapids or in Detroit or any city here in the United States? Are you ready? Or do you say, "Ho-hum, we're just a little denomination, little churches, and we really can't expect much." Verse 4 says, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed." That word means disappointed. There should be no weakness of faith on our point. We should not say it's good enough as it is. Look, at least we're able to sustain ourselves now. We should not say that's too large a dream. Don't make the tent so big that there's empty chairs. There should be empty seats in our church if we expect the Lord to continue to add to his church daily such as should be saved. Enlarge the tent. Enlarge it through the preaching of the gospel and the willingness to accept and to nurture and to care for those whom the Lord will bring in to his church. What an expectation, huh? So many children from the east and from the west that there's not enough room for them all. Why can we have that kind of expectation? Well, we can have that kind of expectation, number one, because of God's promise that is sure. He will not let us down. His promise is sure, isn't it? What does he say to Abraham? Genesis 12, verse 3, and this is important. What does God say to Abraham? Well, because the church is compared to Sarah, the barren one. God says to Abraham, "And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." All the families. Genesis 13, verse 16, "And I will multiply thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered.
Boys and girls, have you tried to number the dust? Now, my wife is very clean in the house, but I tell her, stay out of my study. I got papers all over it. Now, stay out of my study. Well, when I moved my stuff out of my study, there was lots of dust behind different books and behind different furniture. Can I start counting all the dust that was there on the windowsill? I can't. Can we number the number of children that the Lord is going to give to Abraham, that he's going to give to his church? God says to Abraham, they shall be more than the stars of the heavens and the sand on the seashore. Boys and girls, have you counted? Try to count all those stars if you get out in a dark area. Have you counted the sand on the seashore without number? God repeats that promise over and over in his word, and we have it now also here. They shall come from the east, and they shall come from the west. So many children. God's word is not merely a wish. God is not saying, I wish you many children. May it happen. God says, I will cause them to bring, and that promise is unbreakable. So that's why we can be sure about this expectation. God promises it. We can be sure about this promise, number two, because it's God's work. It's God's work. Yes, the church goes as God commands her to go, but it is God who brings the sons and the daughters to the church. God's work in their hearts. God's work, really, because God in eternity knew them and loved them and had already given them to Jesus Christ to be saved. They will come. They will come because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Their sins are forgiven them and they are redeemed. They are washed. And therefore, they can be members of the church. They will come because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Christ sends from heaven on Pentecost. That Holy Spirit that takes the word that is preached and sows it in their hearts and turns sinners away from their sin to Christ Jesus. That Holy Spirit that has done those things for us is the Holy Spirit of God who will do those things for all of God's elect from every nation and tribe and people, every race, and they will come into the church. Jesus says, John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Therefore, enlarge the place of thy tent, is God's word this morning. You see how this passage is the basis for a very zealous mission work. God has made a promise. Sons and daughters, which you haven't born, they don't come from us naturally or physically. Those sons and daughters are going to flow to us from the east and from the west. If that is God's word, that is God's work. It's all of God, isn't it? It's he who gives his word that we're preaching this morning. It is he who sends his church into the world. He says, go. It is he who calls the preacher and the missionary to do that work. It is he who prepares the field. It is God who shows the way to the church where there's open doors. And the church obeys and preaches that word wherever God opens the door. Jesus says in Mark 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you see the effectual word here? That word is going to go forth, and there's only two possible reactions against it. Either by grace, there's faith, or there's a hardening of the heart and rejection. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The church witnesses through her preacher in preaching, but she witnesses also by the lives that she lives. Romans 10, verse 14 and 15. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How is it going to happen? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Those four questions. Here is how the church enlarges the place of her tent: zealously preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord will add daily such as should be saved. They come because the church is obedient and goes with the word. That's our calling, isn't it? I'm here this morning as your home missionary, not talking about my work. I'm talking about our work, the church. The church is called, enlarge the place of thy tent. And the church does that by her witness. The church does that by her preachers. The church does that by her missionaries that she sends forth. It's our work. What a beautiful passage. How important that we obey it then. Many, many, many children, more than we can count, will flow and become to the church. And so we have our calling. Be prepared. Do that preaching. Accept those that the Lord brings to us. Nurture them in their faith. Be patient, be long-suffering, forgiving. Make room. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful and we do indeed sing from our hearts. We who know and we confess and we love the truths of thy word from our heart, we desire that others also may know and confess and love those truths. Indeed, we are a blessed people. We're thankful, Father, for thy promise and thy word. Thou wilt save such as should be saved. They will flow to thy church. Hear us then in Jesus' name. Amen.